What is happening, everybody? Welcome to episode number 5 of the Reverent Babble Podcast. This is Cody Kelly.
And this is Neil Huntley.
And we're just so excited for you to be joining us once again for some more Reverent Babble.
This is episode number 5?
Yes, it is episode number 5.
I can't believe it's already 5 episodes in, Cody.
Yeah, this is kind of crazy. I mean, it was only a couple months ago when I first talked to you about doing this in the first place.
Yeah, and I mean, it's only been a couple months since this whole pandemic started, too, and we kind of planned it out as the pandemic's going on, hadn't we?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, what's going on with you? What's new with you, Cody?
It honestly hasn't been too much, you know, doing some more work with school and things like that, just, you know, keeping on trying to do that. Although, I have been watching, you know, like how on these different channels now, they'll be playing like other, like, you know, like sporting events that like happened in the past.
Yeah, yeah.
One thing I've really liked watching is college softball, like old college softball.
You've been watching
games.
College softball?
Yes,
like
I have.
Like SEC college softball or just any conference at all?
I mean, well, they have this one channel on ESPN and it's basically just showing a bunch of older games.
Yeah.
You know, and like, and for like the past couple of weeks, I've just been watching like the classic softball games because, like, you know, and like the games they choose, like, obviously, you know, like championship games or like really like close scoring games.
Sure.
So that's a lot of fun to watch. You know, so I've just been watching a lot of that because honestly, I haven't watched a lot of softball, which is kind of weird because I like baseball.
Well, I'll tell you what, depending on the games, which I mean, you've been watching the classic games, but those are some really like, you know, hype environments.
Oh, yeah, I know.
All the players are into it. The fans in the stands are into it. The coaches over there with the golf shirt and shorts on just hanging out at third base, they're into it. Those can be some exciting games, man. That's interesting. I wouldn't have thought to sit down and watch college softball, but more power to you, dude.
Yeah, for sure. See, there you go. There's for sure.
Oh, there's the first for sure. I'm really going to keep score today, so that's one.
All right. That sounds good. Yeah, but like, so I've just been really having a lot of fun watching that, just kind of, you know, enjoying watching some older stuff that I really haven't watched that much before, so that was a lot of fun.
Oh, I know something else that's new with you.
What?
You were recognized at church Sunday.
Yes, I was. I graduated high school.
Yeah.
That's something that I, for a little while, never thought I was going to be able to do.
Top of your class, right?
Yes, top of my class. I was the best and worst of my class.
If you were the bottom of your class, I need to talk to your teacher, a.k.a. your mother, because if you were at the bottom of your class and the only one there, and I like how your cap and gown were conveniently Boston Red Sox colors. Was that on purpose?
No.
are we lying here, Cody?
I think I might be lying just a little bit.
That's more irreverent than reverent babble coming out of your mouth right now.
That is true.
Yeah, because you didn't sneak that one by me. You might have snuck it by some other people.
I was about to say, like, some other people didn't even notice, but, like,
I saw the
I was
pictures.
Wondering if you would notice that was.
Yeah, I saw the pictures on Facebook either last night or night before last. Yeah, last night. And I said, Amber, did you realize that Cody's cap and gown colors are Boston Red Sox? She said, he thinks he's slick, don't he? I said, he thought he was, but I caught it.
Yes.
But that was cool.
Unfortunately, man. I was kind of hoping to get that by you, but I knew I couldn't get that by you.
Hoping by the skin
of my teeth.
We recognized you and a few others. We had two more graduate in high school besides you and one graduate in college. But that was fun to recognize y'all. And it's great to be back in church, isn't it?
Oh. For sure.
And we're still doing Zoom meetings
for our youth group meetings.
Yeah, but
and
we'll meet back in the youth room once we're cleared for Sunday school because, you know, we meet in a Sunday school room. So it's kind of hard to socially distance in a Sunday school room when we could have up to 25 kids in there, you know.
Right, yeah, I know. For
but
sure.
But it's great to get back in church.
Yeah, for sure. All right, man, so what's new with you?
Just been hanging out, man. I'm slowly getting rid of this poison ivy, poison oak. I don't even know what it is. I know I got it weed eating the other day two Saturdays ago, when it's funny, I was weed eating in shorts and Crocs, and I have none on my legs. No poison ivy on my legs at all.
Wow, really?
But both my arms got eat up and on my torso, but it's getting better. I had to go get a shot on Friday. I had to get a good old steroid shot.
And ooh.
I was not able to hit any home runs because of the steroid
You weren't able
shot.
To hit any home runs?
No, but I'll tell you what I was able to do, though. Me and some other guys from church, we cleaned up my backyard. We had some trees down
from
the storm.
Oh, yeah.
And I have never had that much energy moving that much lumber. Oh, my goodness. That much. And it's not lumber yet. That much. That many trees. We burn them up. I think the burn pile in my backyard is still smoking today, and we did the fire on Saturday. But we got the backyard cleaned up.
That's good.
It's looking good. But we're back in the studio, man.
Yes, we are. We are back in the studio officially again.
I'm back in my Crocs.
Yes.
I brought the Crocs back.
Which honestly, this is kind of funny because you got Poison Ivy. You know, Crocs has like a bunch of holes in it. So how did you not get any on your feet?
Like I said, I have no idea. It makes no sense.
I don't know.
It's clean on my legs, clean on my feet. Nothing.
But on your arms, you have it on.
My arms are ate up with it.
Oh, man. Yeah, I can see.
I don't understand, man. But like I said, we're back in my Crocs. Crocs, if you hear this, talk to us. Let's make a deal. Cody's shaking his head no right now. But I'm shaking my
please,
head yes
no,
right
let's
now.
Not, no.
But we're back. We got some cool stories to talk about today. We got some NASCAR coming up. You got some more baseball news.
Yes, of course I do.
Football. And we got a really cool Devo coming up for the Double Play Devo.
Oh, are we sure it's going to be cool? Because I don't know.
Well, I'm sure. I'm not sure if you are. You're the one that's supposed to be prepared for this.
I am?
I was just told to come show up and listen to you talk for about 20, 30 minutes, right? You're doing the sermon today, right?
I guess I am now. No, I'm just kidding, but yeah.
All right, well, I'm looking forward to it. Y'all stay tuned, and we'll get started with the Double Play Devo. Hey, everybody, it's Neil here. Once again, just want to thank you for listening to today's podcast. Hope you're enjoying it so far. I know we just got started, but just wanted to remind y'all to leave us a rating, leave us a nice review, and subscribe. Tell your friends about us. You can contact us at reverendbabble@gmail.com. We also are on Twitter at Reverend Babble. I'm on Twitter at Neil Huntley. And Cody is too at CKRedSox72. Thanks again. Let's get on to the show. All right, we're back. I'm going to get started with the Double Play Devo. Last week, I was thankful and humbled to share my testimony, and I heard some people really tell me they enjoyed hearing it, and that was good to hear.
Including me. I really enjoyed that, for sure.
I appreciate that, Cody. But this time, it's your turn. I'm really excited to hear yours. And all honesty, you know, in this year or so that I've known you, I've never heard your testimony.
Really?
I've heard your dad's at men's breakfast before.
Right.
But I hadn't heard yours, so I'm really looking forward to it. So with that being said, the floor is yours, man. I may throw in just a little commentary here and there, but
oh yeah,
that's all you, man. Take it away.
Sounds awesome, man. Thank you. All right. So I'm going to start like you. The year was 2002.
2002.
Nah, I'm just joking. Okay, anyway. Okay, so I was born on January 21st, 2002 in Charlotte, North Carolina.
The Queen City.
I was born in Charlotte, but I was actually raised here in this area of Union County in the Monroe, Wingate kind of area. I was kind of raised in this area. And I've always grown up in a Christian home. Both of my parents are Christians and have been ever since I've known them, obviously. And pretty much ever since I can think back, as long as I can think back, we've been in church. Like you know, like some of my farthest memories I can possibly think of, it's like church-related things for sure. You know, so like I've been in church my whole life. Both of my parents have been really involved in church as long as I can remember. My dad's been a Sunday school teacher for a long time, and for a long time up until like the last year or so. My mom worked as a secretary at other churches we had.
Oh, she did?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
By the way, we got to get your dad back in Sunday school.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, that would be awesome. But yeah, I'm sorry. Keep going.
It's all right. Yeah. But like both of my parents have been involved in church, but basically as long as I can remember. So I was really like brought up as try to be involved and just try to help other people in any way that you can that are in church or just people in general.
Cool.
And that's just kind of, you know, the way I've kind of been, you know, kind of raised to think that way. But also something that's been around since I can remember is my stuttering, as you can kind of occasionally hear during this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And And basically, as far back as I can recall, I've stuttered. It hasn't always been, like, terrible. It just kind of, it's kind of been progressively worse. I think it's gotten progressively better since in the last couple of years.
Oh, yeah?
Honestly.
Okay.
You know, but, you know, I'll kind of get into more of, you know, like, I'll kind of get into more detail about that later as I keep talking.
Sure.
But, you know, but basically, as long as I can remember, I've had a problem with stuttering. It's not like, you know, it's not like a mental disability or anything like that.
No, absolutely not.
You know, it's not anything like that. It's just that I just have a harder time talking sometimes. Like, I'll just get caught on my words. I'll get, like, you know, like my vocal cords will kind of get tightened or stressed out or whatever. I'm trying to describe it the best way I can,
Yeah.
You know, but anyway, so, like, you know, kind of make a long story short, it just basically, I just basically have a hard time talking sometimes.
Sure.
You know, and just kind of getting my words out. And it really wasn't that much of an issue for me until, like, third grade, because at the time I was still, like, in an actual private school.
Right.
Because, like, growing up, I went to private school until I was in fifth grade, and it really didn't become a problem for me until I was in third grade, and I was kind of being made fun of for it in a way.
Oh, really?
And, you know, and well, plus, when I reached third grade, it was definitely worse than when I first noticed it. Because, like, really my earliest memories of it when I was, like, 5 or 6, mm-hmm. you know, and of course, like, I'm in third grade, I'm, like, 8 or 9. So, between that time and then, it had gotten a lot worse and a lot more noticeable. So, we didn't really know that much about what it was at the time.
Yeah.
So, like, we just kind of figured out what I had was called stuttering. I'm sure is a more technical term for it, but
right.
That's basically, that's basically what I've always known it as. So, like, so ever since it kind of started getting worse in third grade, for the next couple years after that, we went to a bunch of different places, that would try to, like, quote unquote, fix my stutter, try to make me talk better. And
kind of like a therapy thing or something like that?
Sort of something like that. Oh, yeah, okay. Pretty much. You know, like, I kind of went to, like, different,
okay,
like, speech therapists, if you want to call it that. And it really wasn't so much that. It was just basically trying to, like, you know, like, a bunch of different exercises and just try to make me feel more confident about myself. It was basically, it was designed to help me talk differently.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't in my, like, the way it was is it kind of, it, like, the way they trained me, it trained me to talk differently than the way I normally talk.
Right.
Because the way I'm talking, like, I'm very loud, I'm very expressive, I talk really fast a lot of times. And the way that they were trying to make me talk was a lot more slower and a lot more methodical.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, but the way
that's
I talk,
not you. Yeah.
That's definitely not me. So, like, you know, and, you know, and honestly, wasn't, like, anything bad. It just didn't really help me that much. Like, you know, and, like, as we kept on doing that, I honestly felt worse about myself, because as far as the population, world population is concerned, only 1% of the world has a stuttering problem or stutter. So out of, out of the over 7 billion people in the world, only 70 million stutter. And, like, that's a lot of people, 70 million.
Yeah.
But that's out of crazy. The whole world population, I'm, like, I'm very...
Yeah, very unique.
I'm very unique, and that's what my parents have always told me. I've always told me I'm pretty special. I'm like, yes, I am.
That's right.
As far as that's concerned, yeah. But yeah. So, like, after we kept on trying the next couple years, you know, to try to find different ways I could, you know, quote unquote, fix my stutter or just make it more manageable for me. Kind of, you know, like, kind of once we kind of, you know, like, kind of once we had tried that for a little while, I just kind of went to a point where I just didn't feel that great about myself. For the rest of basically my time in elementary school and even all the way through middle school and even into my freshman year of high school, I was a shy kid. I would intentionally not talk to people. It isn't that I was trying to be a jerk. I just didn't feel like I would be.
The self-confidence wasn't there. Is that right?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, like, Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, my self-confidence was pretty much as rock bottom as you could get. I mean, like, I didn't want to talk to anybody. I didn't want to interact with other people just because of what I was afraid of, how they would respond to me stuttering. And it's not even so much that I had a lot of bad things happening because of my stutter. It's not that I was bullied a lot. I mean, obviously, I was in third grade. I had a little bit of problem with it.
Well, third graders.
But third grade is third grade. Yeah. It's not like...
Third graders have zero filter.
Right, for sure. So it's like, you know, but like... You know, but it's like, so I just really let the thought of that get to me, that I wasn't going to be able to do anything. And that really, hindered my faith a lot too. And like I said earlier, both of my parents were really involved in church and they helped out a lot of people. And I just felt that I couldn't be like them because of my stutter. I feel like I couldn't have an impact on other people's lives just because of how I was. And it's, you know, and for a long time, I questioned a lot of it, obviously. I was just like, why am I only part of 1% of the world's population that has to go through this type of thing? You know, and like I said, for a long time, that just really had a negative effect on me. I let it have a negative effect on me for pretty much, like I said, the rest of my elementary and pretty much up until my freshman year of high school. And after that, I kind of reached a point where I was just kind of tired of not, I was tired of being that way.
Yeah.
You know, and I went to Caswell, and I just, you know, and my first year at Caswell, Derwin Gray was the speaker.
D. Gray.
He was a former Colt and Panther, Carolina Panthers, so that was pretty cool. Well, he was the speaker the first year I went to Caswell. That was in sixth grade. And he also stutters. I didn't obviously know that until I went there and I heard him speaking that. I mean, of course, I was in sixth grade, so that, you know, that was pretty cool. You know, like, you know, it was cool that I found out that other people stuttered too, so that was kind of unique. And, you know, and then I got involved in other organizations that talk to people who stuttered. They weren't quote-unquote Christian organizations.
Oh, okay.
But at least this is kind of funny. I didn't interact with another person that stuttered until I was like 16, 17
really?
Years old. I never like interacted like a lot with other people.
So you just kind of found that connection.
I kind of felt that connection in that kind of way, yes. And like I said, it wasn't... I'm sorry if I sound like I'm bouncing back and forth.
Oh, no,
here.
You're fine. This is, like I said, this is your thing, man.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's like... But like I said, it wasn't really until high school until I just kind of found that I could have an impact on other people. Because now, here's a story that's pretty cool. You know, like, I've already told you that I've helped out with the Wingate University Wingate University baseball team the last four years.
Yes, I thought it was 4 years.
Yes. So I actually started that in my freshman year of high school.
Okay.
That was my first year. I kind of volunteered there. So like, you know, obviously, you know, like for me, I didn't have a lot of self-confidence, and just for me just to go and meet a bunch of college baseball players, it was really cool. Like a lot of the coaches and even some of the players just kind of took me under their wing and just kind of made me feel more comfortable and part of the team.
That's really awesome.
That just really had a really cool effect on me, just, you know, knowing that. And, you know, like, and being involved with that really kind of started to open myself up to other people because it was a lot more of a relaxed atmosphere. I just felt like I could interact with people a lot more because of those situations. I mean, it's like I'm like a 14-year-old kid. I'm talking to guys who are like 18 to 22 years old.
Yeah.
So, it was pretty cool that they felt comfortable with me talking. I felt comfortable talking to them, and just it had a really good positive effect on me.
Right, because you saw that people didn't see the stutter, they saw you, right?
Right, for sure.
Yeah.
Right, for sure. And that just made me feel a lot more confident about myself. But what really helped is helped my confidence out and just really showed that this stutter I had could be used for a greater purpose.
Yeah.
Was one of the baseball players at the university. He was in my first year, he was a junior. So I got to spend my first 2 years there with him. So he was a really cool guy. His name is Bradley Brown. And Bradley, if you're watching this, I'm just gonna have a quick shout out to you, man. I really hope you don't mind me. I really hope you don't I really hope you don't mind me saying this, but in my freshman year, I was at another church, and we had this every year we had what they called a youth Sunday, and it's where like the youth, different members of the youth group would like go and like teach Sunday school classes, right, or be involved in the worship service, like being, you know, like they'd teach Sunday school classes, or they'd be like, you know, like the replacement for like the choir or whatever for that Sunday. Mm-hmm. So I volunteered to teach in my dad's class on this particular Sunday. This was in 2017. So I was 15. So, unbeknownst to me, my dad got Bradley's phone number off my phone because he took my phone and got Bradley's number out of my contacts. So yeah, but anyway, unbeknownst to me, he actually got Bradley's number off my phone, and he texted Bradley, and he said that I was gonna be, I guess you can call it teaching a lesson or whatever you want to call it on that youth Sunday. So he said that he told the head coach, and him and the whole team was gonna go and surprise me on that Sunday, and unfortunately, they couldn't because they were playing a weekend series and the game got rained out on Saturday, which means they had to play on that Sunday. So they had to play on Sunday, so they couldn't make it. Well, obviously, after Bradley told my dad the news, he told me what was going to be the surprise on that Saturday night. And, you know, and while he was talking to me about it, my dad and Bradley were still texting back and forth. And Bradley, you know, like obviously say he was sorry that they couldn't make it and, you know, really tried and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But after that, Bradley said to my dad, I just wanted to let you know the impact that your son has had on me.
Oh, man.
Because he said that going into his junior year, he was actually contemplating quitting baseball and just leaving college altogether and going back home. He has something you call a Tourette's.
Oh, okay.
I'm sure you've heard of that. Mm-hmm. So anyway, he texted my dad and he said that, I just want to let you know that the impact that your son has had on me ever since he started coming here, because I was contemplating quitting college and quitting baseball altogether and just coming back home because of, and he went to several details about like having problems with depression and anxiety and all that kind of stuff. And, he said that how he saw me still have a smile on my face, despite my problem with stuttering or just my stuttering. And he saw how happy I was and how lighthearted I was, that I was still willing to try things out, even though that was a part of me.
Dude, that's awesome.
And he saw how happy I was about that. And that moment just kind of made me realize how God can use anything in your life for your good. And that just had a really big effect on me. And just, I'm sorry if I'm getting a little bit.
It's okay, dude. That's awesome.
Emotional about
this. That's so cool, dude. That's amazing. I'm so glad you shared this.
Yeah. But from that moment on, I really took to heart about what I could do despite my stuttering. So I began to talk more. I can begin to interact with people more. I began to kind of be more of what me was, because what was funny is like before I did all that, like I would be at home and I would be like, I am, you know, like with you right now, I'd be loud and talking all this kind of stuff.
Right.
You know, but like once I left my house, I just like,
it's like a switch.
I just like cut everything off. But like after that experience, I started interacting with people more and talking with people more and just kind of being more of myself to other people. I began to talk more to the youth group and like teach different groups of people that would want me to talk, and just for, you know, a few Sundays a year. And so I would just keep doing that. And so that was a lot of fun for me. And ever since I've had that experience, I've always, it was just really cool that I got to have the opportunity to do that, because I changed my perspective on that. And, so basically to kind of get to a point here is that I found out that whatever circumstances that you may be experiencing or whatever thing that you may think this makes you less than, God can still use you despite all those circumstances. And one of the things I had to do is I had to choose to have joy in my life despite mm-hmm. all not so great circumstances I've had. And there's a difference between happiness and joy. Happiness is circumstantial. Mm-hmm. Joy, you choose based on your circumstances.
That's exactly right.
And you know that song by For King and Country, the Joy?
Yeah.
I listened to that song, and that was obviously like a really cool song to listen to that came out, I feel, a couple years ago.
I remember that song.
I don't know if I can say that because it might be copyrighted.
No, you can say it. Who cares? It's okay.
You know, but like just choosing to have joy in the midst of a bad situation is something that I really took to heart. And I've definitely realized as I've gotten older that I've, you know, that I can have an impact on other people's lives despite that. And I can still be used by God despite these circumstances. And I haven't officially announced this yet, but I'm strongly considering to when I'm going to transfer to a four-year university. You know, because right now I'm taking classes at a community college.
Right, right.
So I'm thinking about, so whenever I'm getting my associate's degree, I'm thinking about transferring and majoring in broadcast media.
Oh, right. Dude, that's all. Well, I mean, you're getting good practice in right now.
Well, right. I mean, like, that was the funny thing. And I guess it's funny to me, and this is kind of something that I talk about with people, too. And it's like, dude, I'm sitting here talking in a podcast, which is all audio. It's all voice. Yep. And a person who serves as one doing a podcast, but is wanting to talk to other people just about his experiences and just kind of getting out of that shell. So I just thought that was something that was really cool. And I learned that based off circumstances for sure.
That's awesome, man. That's a really cool story. And like I said, you turned something that you thought was a setback
right
into a blessing because you didn't know it, but as your confidence was building up with the baseball team, you were pouring that back out into guys, into like Bradley, right? Is that who you said?
Yeah, Bradley Brown, yeah. Yes.
So they were pouring it into you, and you poured it right back out, and it had an effect on them too, you know? And, you know, I've heard things here and there about, you know, don't let these things that you may have that are different about you be a setback. Let it be a blessing, you know, because
right.
God gives us all these things to use in our life, right?
Right.
He's given you that to use so other people of that 1% of the world, as you said, 1%, right?
Yes.
Can hear that and hear this, hopefully, and see, hey, he's not letting it hold him back. I shouldn't let it hold me back. And I remember right when we started doing this podcast, I sent it to one of the fellas that's on the local radio station
in
Monroe. And he really liked it because one of his sons has a stutter.
Yes, and I think a couple of days after the first episode released, you called me one night and you told me that.
Yeah, I told you that.
Yeah,
and I wanted to tell you that because I knew part of the reason you wanted to do the podcast was to, you know,
have
show
an impact
people,
on other people, right?
Yeah, that, you know, I'm not letting this hold me back. I want to still, you know, pursue my dreams no matter what.
Right.
And the first episode in, we had an immediate impact on that. So, I mean, and I know this might not be the best example, and you know, he was before my time and way before yours, but there was this country singer named Mel Tillis. He had a really bad stutter too. Now, he was a little rough around the edges, but he had a really bad stutter, but when he sang, nothing. He was smooth as silk.
Yeah.
But see, he didn't let that hold him back. You're not letting this hold you back. And when we don't let things that we think are setbacks, when we use them to our advantage and use them the way God has called us to, it really can cause an effect like it was on Bradley. Probably on more people than you realize. But just spreading that joy, part of the one things that we're supposed to do as Christians is to spread the joy and spread the gospel of Jesus and be that, you know, that physical walking version of Scripture can pour onto so many people. And some people tell us about it and some people won't. But you don't know how many people you affected greatly.
Oh, I know.
And it's going to keep going from there. So that was an awesome story, man.
Oh,
man,
well, thank you.
It got all misty out in here.
I know. I was about to say, like,
good gracious.
I was trying to not get too emotional on there, but I just kind of got all caught up in it, I guess.
Yeah, that was great, man. Well, good deal. Well, was that all? You got anything else you want to put?
No. I think I'm good. I mean, like, I just want to bring up one more little point. It's just that I'm a Christian, I still go through a bunch of circumstances on seems like a daily basis.
Absolutely.
Nowadays for
sure. Well, that's just cause of the world that we live in,
right? For sure, absolutely. But it's just a matter of using those circumstances to, you know, to build up your faith. It's like, I think it was your last episode, two episodes ago, we were talking about James chapter 1, and you said that count it all joy when you go through different trials, because the testing of your faith produces patience.
Yep, so, that's right.
You know, and just kind of knowing that, and just kind of knowing that these circumstances are for the greater good and for a purpose greater than anything I can imagine is really cool, and that's something I want to always strive for to do.
And for y'all that don't know Cody outside of this podcast, when he said, you know, when all of a sudden when his confidence built back up and he just started talking, he ain't kidding. He first day in youth group, I think I had to tell him to be quiet a couple times.
Yes, I think you did.
I wasn't getting mad at him. I was just like, hey, I'm glad he's new and I'm glad he's not shy. But whew, he's got a talk box on him.
Well, here's the thing. And that was the one thing whenever I went there for the first time is I'm like, okay, I'm not going to be like the other times where I came in and I'm like completely shy. I'm first time new to anything. I'm going to be like, I'm going to let you know my personality right away.
And you did.
Yeah, I think I did.
Walked in the door, and then you hit us with a rock bottom like Dwayne the Rock Johnson used to do and say, hey, here's me. I'm Cody, and here's what I like to talk about. Everything. Well, cool deal, man. Well, thanks for sharing that. I hope y'all absolutely that are hearing this got something great out of that, too. We're going to take a quick breather, and then we'll be back with some sports.
Hey everybody, what's going on? I hope you guys are enjoying the show. Just wanted to take a second just to let you guys know that if you have any prayer needs or just something on your mind, you can always contact us through our social medias. They are in the show notes in the description of this podcast. And just always wanted to let you know that that's always available. If you just want to talk to somebody, if you have any questions, just let us know. And I hope you guys are having a great day. And now back to the show. All right, it's time for sports. Time to update you in the week that was in the world of sports. This is the Weekly Score.
The Weekly Score. Kind of switched it up on you that way.
Yeah, we kind of switched it up for this week because that's usually you
who does that. Keep the listeners on their toes a little bit.
Oh, yeah, I know, for sure. All right, Neil, so what you got?
Hold on, I'm counting that one for sure. We're at 14 for sure right now.
Oh, okay, we're at 14 for sure now?
14. You said 9 during your testimony. I was paying attention.
You were.
Beautiful, beautiful story. I promise I was, but I was also keeping tally. Yeah, I got a couple stories for us. I was about to read yours. I'm not going to read baseball, though. Let me sum up NASCAR from this past week.
Sounds good.
Here's my summary of NASCAR at Atlanta Motor Speedway. You ready?
Yeah, I was about to say, it sounded pretty boring whenever I was like...
Oh, sorry. I fell asleep for you know why I fell asleep? Because that's what the race did to me, Cody. Okay. NASCAR has been doing so good since they came back. So good.
I told you. I know.
You know, the midweek races have been great. They didn't have a midweek race last week. They went straight from Sunday at Bristol to Sunday at Atlanta. But oh, my goodness, how boring of a race was it at Atlanta Motor Speedway?
It was pretty boring.
Which it usually is. Okay. Atlanta's not the most, you know, famous track. It's under the same ownership as Charlotte Motor Speedway in Texas and some other ones. But wow, that was a boring race. I think Kevin Harvick won. I know he won.
Right.
Which I'm a fan of Harvick, so I'm glad he won. That's actually where he won right after Dale Earnhardt passed away.
Right. Right. And he held up the three.
Yeah. So, you know, Kevin Harvick was the replacement driver for Dale Earnhardt.
Dale Earnhardt, right.
And, of course, he didn't drive the three car after that. It was number 29, but it was Goodwrench. And, you know, it was very, very odd to see Goodwrench on a different numbered car, you know.
Cause right, yeah.
After such sudden thing of, I mean, that was in 2001, I think.
Yeah.
I remember. Yeah. I think I was 7. Yeah. I remember watching the Daytona race.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, I'm pretty sure it was 01, yeah.
Yeah, I remember watching the Daytona race and seeing the wreck. And I remember, you know, we had to see the press conference after a while. They said, you know, Dale Earnhardt passed away. And, you know, I remember my parents being shocked, but I was 7 years old. And, I mean, I don't remember much how I was feeling. It was kind of
hard to believe. I wasn't born yet, so.
Yeah, you weren't here yet. But Harvick actually won his first race at Atlanta After he replaced
Dale Earnhardt, right.
And after in that first race he did, he went around the track backwards and held up the three.
Held up the three, right.
And he did that this past Sunday, too.
Right.
Which, you know, there was nobody there to see it, no fans. But just a tribute, you know, to the late, great Dale Earnhardt, that was really cool to see. Other than that, I think, like I said, there was 10 cars on the lead lap when the race was over. I'm pretty sure whoever was in second place, I can't remember the rundown. I should have pulled it up on my iPad right here. But I'm pretty sure the second place car was like 12 seconds behind.
Oh, why not even close?
So, I mean, it was basically like a mini version of 485 in Charlotte where everybody's just going around in circles and just passing whenever they can.
Yeah.
But my goodness, I mean, it was a race. We had a race, but I'm ready for the race tomorrow night, being Wednesday night. It's at Martinsville. Do you know anything about Martinsville Speedway?
I do not.
So basically, think of a paperclip. I'm looking for one on the table, but I don't see one. You know what a paperclip looks like, right?
Yeah.
Two straight lines, really two tight turns. That's exactly what Martinsville Speedway looks
really?
Like. It's
okay.
Basically two drag strips with little hairpin turns on each side.
Ooh, okay.
So that, you know what that means. It's going to be a lot of bumping.
Oh,
it's going to
yeah,
be a
sure.
lot of going real fast, slamming on brakes, trying to scoot around each other. It should be a fun race.
Sounds fun, yeah.
There's not much banking in it, so you just have to really stop almost to turn.
Right.
Because
the turns are so sharp.
Yeah, but hopefully. It's definitely going to be a more entertaining race than it was at Atlanta this week. I love the Braves. That's about it in Atlanta that I love. Don't care much for the Falcons. Don't care much for, you know, the Hawks.
Yeah, the Hawks are the NBA team in there.
Yeah, or whatever else they have down there. I love the Braves, but Atlanta – come on, man. What was that? I think – let me pull up this stat real quick, and then I'll get on to some college football news. Yeah, my buddy James sent me a text yesterday saying he read an article on The Athletic that said there hasn't been a multi-car crash at Atlanta since 2015.
5 years?
It's been 5 years since there was a multi-car crash. There's of course, you know,
well,
some
right.
cars might have got loose in the corner, or they might have, you know, just stalled out and had some cautions or some, you know, single-car crash. But that just shows you how spaced out the racing is
right.
at Atlanta. So
right, the fact that it's hard to even get two cars to hit each other.
Yeah, so, you know, the people that own that racetrack, you got to do something with that track. You got to, you know, I'm not sure if you're repaving it, making a different texture, because that plays a big key. Maybe doing something with the embankment, you can adjust that. I mean, that's a lot of money, but we got to make that a more entertaining race at Atlanta if you want people to watch, especially when there's nothing else on TV. So, but getting off the NASCAR story, I got just a little bit of college football news for us. We hadn't had college football news in a while. So, according to CBS Sports, the NCAA committee aims for a six-week calendar to start the 2020 college football season. Wait for it. On time.
On time.
They want to start the 2020 college football season on time, according to
CBS. And
they
want the entire thing to be done in 6 weeks?
They want this started in 6 weeks. So I'll just give it a rundown real quick. Said they're giving teams starting August 29th over 6 weeks to prepare for the beginning of the 2020 season. So if they're starting on August 29th, that means, it says Sports Illustrated reported on Monday that a draft version of that plan includes a recommendation that coaches could begin interacting with players as soon as the first week of July.
Really?
Yeah, that seems really fast.
Oh,
doesn't?
Yeah, I know.
It went from, are we just going to play in the spring, to, hey, here's a six-week calendar where we can start on time. I mean,
wow.
What are your thoughts on that?
I don't honestly know what to think about that. I guess to me it just seems like it's awful lot of things to squeeze in such a short amount of time.
It seems like a lot. Here's a rundown of their proposed calendar if approved. It's on a chart on this article. It says June 1st to the 25th are voluntary workouts, voluntary and virtual non-physical activities. So basically getting back on campus. Starting July 13th and onward, they'll have team workouts, weight training, conditioning, film, etc.
Right.
July 24th, walkthroughs, team meetings, up to 20 hours per week, from 8 hours per week. So they're getting closer and closer in late July. And then August 7th and onward, practice. Preseason practice starts. Now, there's no plans to reschedule the spring games. That, you know, we're way past the spring games. That was That was
I was about to say, it's like all of that thought was over a long time ago.
Oh, yeah, we're way past spring games, which they're fun if you're a really diehard college football fan.
Right.
I can't get into a spring game.
No.
I remember when I was at UNC Charlotte, I shared it last week, I was there for their first inaugural season as having a football program.
Right.
We went to the spring game, and it was really cool to see the kickoff, and then I was like, all right, y'all, it's hot, let's leave. You know, because it was just – we were just basically watching the glorified practice.
Pretty much.
But if you are into that kind of thing, sorry, no spring games this year. But according to this article, according to this calendar by the NCAA committee, it looks like we're going to have college football on time right now.
Right. It's like as of right now, it's going to be on time.
So that should be very interesting to see. Especially with the things coming up this year in college football. I mean, basically, you know, Clemson's the favorite.
Oh, yeah.
Alabama's not far behind.
As always.
My boys, the Tar Heels, they're looking like they could have a really promising year unless we, you know, fall off the track like we did last year after we almost beat Clemson and then went on a little skid. But I tell you what, man, if we start on time and if everything keeps progressing the way it does.
Oh, man, that'd be a lot of fun.
That would be fun because think about it. Not to get off on too big of a tangent, but we saw what happened with the NBA, you know.
Yes.
So that got approved. So that's starting in the end of July, right?
Right.
So we'll potentially have NBA playoffs. We'll have NCAA football. We'll have potentially NFL football. Maybe Major League Baseball.
Yeah, I was about to say
that. We'll get to that in a second.
Yeah. Yes.
Maybe
that's Major League. That's very
thin maybe. Maybe Major League Baseball and NHL all going on at the same time.
Wow.
So, folks, in the fall, clear schedule.
Yes.
We got some sports to watch.
Oh, yeah. Yes, and I've been looking forward to this for a long time. I've been looking forward for sports to get back in session again.
Yeah, but like I said, I was shocked to see it's just a quick turnaround for college football.
Oh,
but,
I know.
We'll see what happens. I mean, it's still – everything's so fluid, you know, and it can change in the weeks to come. But this is really exciting news for the sports fans like us.
Oh, for sure.
What's your stories that you have?
Well, once again, I have another MLB story. I'm sorry if I sound like a broken record because I keep talking about the MLB.
Maybe you're more of a broken bat than a broken record.
That is true. I see what you did there.
Yeah. Well, you have on everything baseball right now.
Yes, that is true. I do. I have a baseball shirt and a baseball hat, and I have a baseball poster right next to me. So, yes.
Yeah, just baseball. And what's your dog's name?
Smalls.
You're killing me, Smalls.
Yes. So, as far as the new proposal, yet another new proposal.
Wait. Another one?
Another proposal.
Hold on. Here, I got a meme for you. It's DJ Khaled. Another one.
Yeah.
Another one.
Another one.
All right, what's this one?
Anyway, so the MLB's latest proposes a 76-game regular season with a 75% of what would be their prorated salary.
Oh, goodness.
So it's less than half of the games for 75% of what would be their prorated salary, and if this goes through and they have a postseason, it would be like the normal postseason with 10 teams.
So they're not going to tinker with the postseason anymore.
Pretty much
because
no.
Those first few proposals.
Yeah, I was about to say
they were getting
those
a little
first
confusing.
Few proposals were pretty wild.
Yeah, they were getting a little confusing, but they cut the games down again.
Yes, they did.
And they went from what was the last proposal?
It was 82, and then they okay. Well, what happened was is that in the past week, I think it was 82, and then the players proposed 114. And then
MLB went to 56.
And then the MLB went to like 56 or something in the 50s. And now it's 76 games with 75% of what would be their prorated salary. And the season as a whole would not end later than October 31st. So like that would be the cutoff time for the season would be October 31st, which is usually when the World Series is supposed to end anyway.
Sure.
But, I mean, now like – now, at the time of this podcast, the MLB players have not officially said word yet, but I'm sure by the time the podcast comes out, they'll have some response. Most likely, it's going to be a no again,
So we got college football wanting to start on time, and we got baseball wanting to end on time.
Yes.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, I know. I mean, this is honestly... I mean, this is honestly turned into something ridiculous. I honestly just wish that... both sides would just to just say, okay, it's obvious that as far as what I want, I'm not going to get exactly what I want.
Right.
So,
We knew that from the first two proposals.
I know that. But it just keeps going back and forth, and it's just driving me insane. I guess for me, if you're a player, this is probably the best offer that the MLB is going to give you.
Because, I mean,
at this point, I seriously think so.
Because, and tell me if I'm wrong, I think I'm understanding it right. So prorated is like what you would make in a year, right?
For example, if a player is going to get based off of his prorated salary, like for instance, let's say a player is making $20 million in this coming season.
Okay.
If they were to play exactly half the games prorated, they would get paid off their current contract based off how many games they played.
Oh, okay.
So, like, for instance, if a guy's getting paid $20 million and they play exactly half the games, he'd be getting paid $10
million. Gotcha.
So that's basically how it works. But how this is saying is it would be 75% of what would be their prorated salary.
They're playing under half of what they would normally play, but they're getting paid like they play three-quarters of what they play.
Yes. Well, actually, no, it isn't. I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, it isn't. It's they would get paid. Okay, well, like 76 games is basically half a season. So they're getting, so it's a little less than half a season, so we'll just round up to half.
Okay.
Just to say, be more simple.
Gotcha.
And they're getting paid 75% of what would be that prorated salary.
Oh, okay.
So it's not like they would get paid 75% of their current salary.
That's where I was confused.
They would get paid 75% of what would be the prorated salary based off the 76
games. So they're still not going to get paid for 76 games.
No.
So that doesn't sound like a good deal.
But honestly, that's the best deal that Major League Baseball has proposed in the last couple weeks.
It is.
So I guess if I'm the players, I'm a little bit upset, but I just take the money and just start playing some baseball.
Yeah.
Because honestly,
which is not, well, they don't want to do that. They're trying, you know, show the man who's boss.
Right.
You know, because we're the players. We're the ones that people pay money to come see. But, you know, if you keep at it, you're just not going to have a season. And then if you go on a player strike like you did in the
1994,
I mean, baseball has had a sour look towards them because of that, not to mention other things since then.
Right.
I don't know if baseball can handle another lockout or strike.
I don't think that
or anything like that.
I personally don't think that they can either. I mean, for me, I'm one of those fans at this point. I just want to watch some baseball.
Right.
If there's a little bit of bad circumstances under, I'll obviously be upset about that. But I kind of just want to see some games being played. Now, obviously, if the season's canceled and both sides can't agree on anything, I'll be like, okay, whatever. Both of you kind of deserve that in a way. I'm not trying to be irreverent by saying that.
Well, I mean, yeah, you're being honest.
But I just think that this has gone on way longer than it should have, and I think it just needs to reach its end at some point.
Yeah, I see the Players Union or Players Association come back with one more counteroffer, and then I think it'll be it either way.
For sure.
So, yeah.
All right. Well, okay, so I got one more thing related to baseball.
Oh, you got one more baseball. Okay.
I got one more baseball, and then I promise I'm done with baseball for the week.
extra innings. Here we go.
Yeah, extra innings. So, as you know, the 2020 MLB draft is going to be coming up this week. It'll, at the time of this podcast, it'll be recorded tomorrow. It will begin tomorrow, so it'll begin on Wednesday and it'll end on Thursday. It's going to be only 5 rounds this year, as I mentioned, I think in the first episode or second episode of the podcast.
Yeah.
It'll only be 5 rounds this year, so it's going to be a lot smaller. And just one of the questions I just wanted to get your opinion on is that, do you think that because there's less rounds, teams would lean more towards college players because they got more experience, or do you think they would still take the risk on a more unproven player from high school or from another country?
I think it depends on how well they've been scouting them so far.
Right.
Because in a traditional, you said 40 rounds, right? What it usually is.
40 rounds is what it would normally be this year.
You have not throwaway picks, but you have some picks to take a chance on.
Right, for sure.
With it being only 5 rounds, and of course they got like a supplemental draft almost, kind of like where they can sign undrafted guys.
Right.
They might take some chances on those guys, but for their actual draft picks,
yeah,
I think it'll be more college guys.
Right.
Unless you're just like the next...
Unless you're like a really good high school player, like the next Mike Trout.
Unless you're like the pre-steroid Roger Clemens or something like that.
Yeah.
where you're just, you know, a beast coming out of high school. I don't see them not wait. I don't want to say wasting a pick, but I would see them taking the safer route with only five rounds of a draft to take their college players.
Well, and plus both those players have more experience of playing a slightly higher talented level baseball. Sure.
Plus, I mean, but sometimes you have international players that are playing a semi-pro or that
semi-pro league,
that
right.
country's version of a pro league. And it all depends on how you've been scouting them. If you've been focused on this one kid from let's just say Clemson, you know, you want him, you're going to pick him first before, hey, I've heard about this kid down in, you know, Chesterfield High School in South Carolina. You know, I'm not sure why my examples are coming out of South Carolina today. But you're going to bank on what you know best in those picks.
Right.
You could take more chances in those undrafted things, undrafted picks or, you know, signings afterwards.
Right, for sure. And what's kind of funny, just to kind of end this on a note, in the past, later round selections have turned into some great players. So just because you're not drafted in the top five rounds doesn't mean you're not going to be a good player. And I just have kind of a few examples of the better players that were drafted in the fifth round or later in the past, you know, like in the past 40, 50 years or so.
Right.
And a lot of these names, people are going to at least say, oh yeah, I've heard that name before.
Okay.
Wade Boggs was drafted in the seventh round by the Boston Red Sox in 1976.
Sweet mustache.
Yes, for sure. I hated that he left and ended up playing for the Yankees, but, well, yeah. You know.
He had to shave it off then.
Yeah, I know. And then pitching great Nolan Ryan was drafted in the 12th round of the 1965 MLB draft.
Great pitcher, better fighter.
Yes, for sure.
Put people in a headlock and punch them.
Yeah, I know. And it's funny because he has thrown seven career no-hitters and has the most strikeouts all time with 5,714.
Ain't that crazy?
That is insane. And he was drafted in the 12th round. And in the 13th round, this is a player who's actually still playing, Albert Pujols. He's now in the Los Angeles Angels, but he was drafted by the St. Louis Cardinals in the 1999 MLB draft. He has over 3,000 hits and 600 career home runs.
Sweet. I didn't know that about him. I didn't know he was drafted that late.
I didn't either until I looked this up. And now John Smoltz. He was drafted in the 22nd round by the Tigers. He was
not drafted by the Braves.
He was not drafted by the Braves, that's even right. though he is a Braves legend. He was not drafted by the Braves. He was drafted by the Tigers in the 22nd round. And a second current player that's still playing, Tampa Bay Rays outfielder Kevin Kiermaier, was drafted by the Rays in the 31st round in 2010.
Wow.
And to kind of round this off, now this last one is like really big. Hall of Fame catcher Mike Piazza. I'm sure you've heard his name before.
Mm-hmm. He was the dude when I was a kid growing up.
Right. He was drafted in the 62nd round.
Wow.
Back when they even had 62
yeah,
rounds.
They don't even have that many anymore.
No, he was drafted by the Los Angeles Dodgers. In the 62nd round, and he was elected into the Hall of Fame 4 years ago. He has a career batting average of .308. And he has been to 12 All-Star games and has hit 427 career home runs.
He also had a sweet mustache.
And he also did have a sweet mustache.
I remember when I was a kid, I liked him. And I think my mom told me that one time that she thought I liked him just because his name looked like pizza. That's what because of Piazza. And
you know,
pizza
well, honestly, similar. It's funny because, like, you know, it's funny for me because, like, obviously, like, he was finished and retired by the time, like, I right. like really, you know, yeah. It's funny, but like the first time I saw his name, I honestly thought his name was Pizza.
Mike Pizza.
Yeah. Mike Pizza.
That's cool, man. That's cool. I didn't know that those guys were drafted so late. That's
yeah, I know. I mean, like, I didn't know that either, but that just goes to show that you don't have to be a top draft pick to get into somewhere. And that's not just for baseball. I mean, that's for all sports.
Oh, yeah. I mean, look at football. Look how late Tom Brady was drafted.
He was drafted in the sixth round.
Yeah. I mean,
he was basically a glorified undrafted free agent.
Yep. Which is like what Piazza was.
Yeah.
What Smoltz was. Don't let what position you get drafted in affect how you perform. Use that as a chip on your shoulder. That's awesome. That's cool, man.
Yeah, for sure.
So you got a good deed story, a good news story for this week?
Yes, I know.
It's kind of like a good deed of the week.
Good deed of the week.
Kind of retro, though. It's kind of like a revisit to a good deed this week, right?
Yes, it was.
What you got?
Okay, so there is a nurse, and her name is Deirdre Taylor, and she's a nurse, and she's been a nurse for a pretty good while. Well, she was actually saved in a house fire in 1983. Her and her mother were in a house that caught on fire, and there was a firefighter that saved her life. Well, wow. There was actually a picture in a news article in 1983 of her and this firefighter. And ever since she got old enough to understand, she was trying to find this firefighter.
She was trying to find the firefighter that saved her.
Right, that saved her life. Yes. Yes, ever since she's kind of gotten older, she's been trying to find the firefighter that saved his life. It's been 37 years since this happened, so obviously she's, you know, like she first tried some like online digging and she couldn't end up finding him. So, well, she's a nurse, like I said. So what's funny is she actually went up to back where she grew up in New York to help out with the pandemic that's okay. going on there.
Yeah.
You know, like helping out other people. And while she was up there, she brought that picture from the old newspaper article with her, and she went up to these different fire stations and she tried to find out where this guy is, if he was even still alive or where he was. So after finding different firefighters and they asked around, they finally found the firefighter that saved her life. His name.
Oh, really? They found
him? Yes, they found him. His name is Eugene Puglis.
I'll take your word for it.
Junior. He's now 75 years old.
Wow.
and retired. But after all that hard work that she did, she finally got to meet him and thank him for saving her life, and obviously where she's at today being a nurse and she's saving lives after the firefighter saved her life when she was only 4 years old.
That's amazing, dude. Isn't that crazy how
I thought that was really cool.
How God can just bring people back together that, you know, met way back when, and it may have been just another day at the office for Eugene, right?
Another day at the office.
Not saying it wasn't special to him,
right?
But, he was doing his job, and now here she is doing her job and found him again. So,
awesome.
It's awesome how God works that way and can bring people together like that. So that's a cool story, man.
Yeah, for sure, man.
Speaking of for sures, final tally, and I might have missed a few. And I'll add a couple just to make up for it. 22.
22.
It's not bad.
That's, you know what's funny is that is actually a lot less than I thought I was going to
have. You said more for sure in your testimony and your story than you did in sports, which I thought was going to be vice versa.
Yeah, honestly, I was thinking it was going to be a flip-flop two on that one. I thought I was going to have more for sure during, you know, the later parts than it was in my testimony.
Well, there you go. I counted 21. I'll say 22, 23 because I might have missed somewhere. I promise I was paying attention the whole time. But, yeah. Well, that's all I have for this week. You got anything else you want to add for the show, Cody?
I think I'm good, man. That's all I got for today.
I know we went a little long today, but, you know, when we're just in here having a good time, it's hard to stop.
Oh, for sure.
24.
There we go. Add another one.
Sometime.
Yeah. I mean, it's like we're just sitting here talking and having a really good time enjoying ourselves.
But we're going to wrap this show up. I'm going to get back to the house. And we're planning to go to camp in a couple weeks.
Yes, we are. I'm looking forward to that.
Finalized. We've got a meeting this week with y'all and the parents. I'm going on vacation in a couple weeks, too.
Hey.
So the last 2 weeks of June, I'm going to be packed. So I'm getting things ready to be packed, you know. And also, I got to get back to my farm. Farming simulator, that is.
Farming simulator? Okay. Yeah,
that's right. I've started farming simulator. I am a farming master. I think that's what it's called.
Ooh.
I'm not sure what it's called.
Farming master.
I got a bunch of John Deere combines. I listen to International Harvester when I play it. I'm just getting the zone. And I'm getting out of here with my Crocs. And Smalls is over here trying to get me to pet him. And with that being said, there's Smalls. Contact info is in the show notes. And you heard it before here, too. Y'all have a good week.